Beautiful, thank you. Oh, I am. Oh, those are such powerful words. When Moses encounters the divine presence at the burning bush, I am. I am that I am. And even in our outer lives, when we say, I am this or I am that, it becomes a living reality. And so the power of our consciousness, of our words, of our thoughts and our prayers and our actions are all part of what co-creates the world for all of us, not only us individually, but us collectively together. We've been going over The Third Jesus the last number of Sundays. That is a book by Deepak Chopra. And it's The Cosmic Christ We Cannot Ignore. And it talks about how we had the historical Jesus, we had the theological Jesus with all of the tenets and the dogma that went with that. And then we have the cosmic Christ, which that's that universal spirituality that he embodied and lived and reminded us that we have as well. Studying world spiritual traditions, one of the things that I find most interesting is when you really get into the mystical heart of all of them, they say the same thing. They are that cosmic light and presence. We call it the Christ light. It's called Atman. It's called Buddha. It's called the inner light. Many, many different names. But it's the historical man lived and let us actually see what does an enlightened being going through the world look like. And he included teachings and living examples and experiences and showing how you do things, always inviting us to participate with him and through his consciousness, his awareness. Traditional theology says the only way to God is through Jesus the man. I think Jesus the man would say the only way is through the Christ light that is in each and every one of you. Never did he ever say, I'm the only one. In fact, he constantly reminded everyone that that presence of the divine was in them and with them. And in that presence, we live and move and have our being. And from that came his healings and his teachings and his very example of how he dealt with life as he encountered it. In the intro of the book, Deepak Chopra says this, the most important activity of mind isn't the war between good and evil. It's the shifting of real from the unreal. Sounds very Buddhist, written by a Hindu about Christianity. His teaching is all about choosing to align yourself with God because God alone is real. It's about a transformation so profound that illusion is traded for reality. Jesus survives this day as a force in the world because he embodied that truth so completely. And we, of course, here at Unity honor the spiritual masters from all of the world traditions. But the living example of the embodied spiritual presence in the man Jesus is one that we hold particularly near and dear. The 15 Steps to God Consciousness is the handout that you've got. And this is one of the chapters in The Third Jesus. And if you really get into these, I'd recommend you get the book. And because he writes about each piece that's a famous scripture, and then kind of how to apply it. And then he does a little short writing about it, and then some exercises you can do to incorporate it in. Needless to say, even with roller skates, we couldn't cover all of that today. This actually could be a series, doing one of these every week, and it would be months worth, which maybe we'll do later in the year. We'll see. I'm letting each series unfold this year. After doing this for 20 years, Spirit said, you don't need a book, you're the book. Share what comes. So the 15 steps to God consciousness are what Deepak Chopra gives us. And I love this. At the top of this, he opened a path to enlightenment that is still visible today. It is a living example that we can do, and we have these beautiful scriptures that are nice little short things that we can meditate on, we can pray on, we can focus on. And when I first read this book, I did one of these each day for 2 weeks. And so a little over 2 weeks, because 15 of them. And so each day I'd do one. And the first time I did them sequentially, and then I started doing cosmic pick. Ah, that's the one I need to work with today. Because each of these are ones you've heard forever. But just like the prayer of St. Francis and the Lord's Prayer, you hear them and they can become rote. But when you really take a moment and settle in and listen, and really look at the words in front of you, hear them as they're spoken, they awaken in a whole new way. So I invite you to enjoy these pieces. And what's interesting was that when I went back and was typing up notes from this chapter, it turns out that the words were, Jesus opened a path to enlightenment that is still viable today. And I went, interesting. I typed visible and it's viable, but they're both really good words. And they mean pay attention. This is not something that was meant for years ago. It's meant to be a living presence of the divine to walk with you. From Jesus' teachings, we can learn how to create a shift in our own awareness. Jesus asks us for personal transformation. God consciousness is something you can work toward today. He was a template, a living example, had teachings. He was a hologram of the divine, as are we. And so each of these 15, each one of you drew one. Did you kind of go, ah, interesting? I love cosmic pick, because if I'm going down the list, it's like, okay, I think I want that one. And I always get the one that meets me right where I am. And so I'm going to go through these because I want you to hear them and to feel them and to realize that these words you've heard forever, but it's time to hear them anew. Really hear and let them inspire and be little mantras. These are 15 little mantras to guide you through life. The first, the kingdom of heaven is within you. We in unity teach that. The divine spark is in everyone. It's your essence. We say we're eternal spiritual beings having an earthly experience for a divine reason. Jesus constantly reminded us the kingdom of heaven isn't someplace we're going to go years from now. It's right here. It's within us. It's all around us. Number two, be in the world, but not of it. That's always been one of my favorite passages. You hear me use that a lot. And the application that he gives is through detachment, you master both inner and outer reality. And detachment isn't not caring. Remember, I had trouble when I first studied Buddhism, thinking, oh, but it seems so loving, but if you're detached, you don't care. No, you're detached from your viewpoint of the situation, your expectations. And so to be in the world but not of it is what we seek to do when we pray and meditate at unity. When we want to be fully embodied, unlike a lot of Christianity that says the body and the world is evil, we believe it is a divine construct. It was made by the divine for us to live and move and have our being in when we're in this realm. But we're not supposed to be totally attached to the outer appearance of things. And so you engage life, but you look at it with spiritual eyes and seek spiritual perception and understanding as you go through the world. Number three, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember at different points in my life, I was like, are you sure about that one? But when I realize I'm not navigating life alone, but that that kingdom of heaven is within me and all around me and expressed by people who are walking through life with me, it does become easier. It does become lighter. It makes a difference. The more you move into an awareness of the divine presence, even in the darkest times, look for the little sparks of light because they're always there, and it will lighten things up. The Scots always say angels can fly because they take things so lightly. Good thing for us to remember. Number four, ask and you will receive. I've always loved this, and they usually stop and don't do the full passage. It's ask and knock on the door, and the end of it is for everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find, and for everyone who knocks the door will be open. Everyone. That's what the scripture says. And it's always surprised me when it's ask and you'll receive, but only if you do it this way or through this tradition. And it's, or if you ask right, you've got to be completely centered and divinely present. No, you can be in absolute chaos and ask, and it goes up like a spark to the divine. And as it goes up, it shines its light down upon you. And you already, in the moment you've asked, you're already receiving because you've opened to receive what is already always there. And that fulfillment is that divine presence within and in our shared world. Number five, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A very famous one. And it's recognizing one of the things that Jesus got in most trouble for was when he told people, you can forgive one another. It doesn't have to come through the priests, through the rabbis at the time. It was something that we could all do. And there is no greater key to get out of the prison of guilt and misperception than to turn the key of forgiveness. To forgive another and to forgive yourself. To forgive is to give for a higher purpose, a higher perception, and it frees you. And so the very suffering itself that calls for forgiveness is rooted in unreality. It's all interpretation, because something that you think needs to be forgiven, somebody else is going, what are you talking about? And something they think needs to be forgiven, you may not have an awareness of. It's about your own inner soul work, going beyond what causes suffering and looking for that divine light in everything. Number six, be still and know that I am God. We just sang that one. I love that chant. There have been many times when life has gotten a bit wild, and that's one of the things that I chant. And it always helps. It's remembering to recenter in your inner reality that you are a child of God and that the kingdom of heaven is everywhere. And it lets you let life unfold spontaneously, because you can be present in that moment, and whatever's going on is okay. Even if it's just for that breath, it's okay. Just remember that presence. Number 7, as you sow, so shall ye reap. This is the law of cause and effect, of mind action. The world is a mirror of the self, is how he describes it. What you see out there is a reflection of yourself and your own soul and your own soul growth. And Jesus, when he comes in with the beautiful doctrine of God is love and the doctrine of grace, that grace is not something you have to earn, it's yours. And to me, grace is simply an awareness of that presence of God. But he said, I didn't come to destroy the old law, but rather to uplift it, to take it to a higher level of understanding. The law of mind action is a lot of what the Old Testament is about. Do this and this happens. That's why we have the Ten Commandments put there. But Jesus, by taking it into love and grace, says, of course you will do those things because you've already learned the effect. If you say something unkind comes back to you. And so you learn not to do that, not only for other people, but for yourself. And there's something that wonderful that happens is that you send out energies, and if you shift and recognize, oh, that was unkind, I shouldn't have said that, I won't do that again, you have moved in consciousness to a different place. And so when that karma, law of mind action, comes back, it glances off your shoulder instead of hitting you full in the chest, because you're in a different place. You've grown. That's another aspect of grace. Number 8, resist not evil. And he says, evil is the collective and personal shadow. Evil is something that is an interpretation that we give to something. And to not resist it means don't focus on that. One of the things we learned in New Thought with the law of mind action, part of the as you sow shall you reap, is the fact that when you send out energies, that what you focus on grows. What you give your attention to grows. And so if you're focusing on a sense of anger or resentment, it will grow. When you can focus on, you know what, I'm really ticked about that, but I'm going to spend a little time in forgiveness, you're shifting that focus. Don't resist the experience life is bringing you. That's a huge thing to learn. And most of us, it takes a lot of our lives to figure that one out. Because when you resist life's challenges, do they go away? I don't know about you all, they get bigger for me. I get the cosmic tap on the shoulder. This is a lesson you could pay attention to right now. And if I don't pay attention and keep doing what I'm doing, I get a slap across the face, wake up, Pam. And if I don't get that, it's the cosmic 2x4 of an experience that's bigger to get my attention, not to punish me, but to help me see and to realize that I need to move through with grace and faith and not around and avoiding. Resisting evil is pushing it away, and it will push right back every time. In my Father's house are many mansions. I love this because this is where he talks about how existence is multidimensional and your life is multidimensional. You can be sitting here right now listening to me and your mind drifts and you go to North Beach, which is where you're going to go this afternoon to watch the sunset. In that moment, your reality is in two places. You're experience the world multidimensionally. And I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine this being all there is. There's so much in this world. I've had remembrances my whole life of reincarnation. I'm going to be talking about that in a couple of Sundays. And I'm not attached to whether it's real or not, but the experience of it and the examples it gives to me for soul growth is profoundly real. And so many mansions means don't limit your concept of God, of what life is, of what your soul is. And there are many, many ways. There's not just one heaven that you have to get the right ticket to get into. That there are many dimensions, many soul experiences. And we know that even people who study angelology, Dorothy Curtis, my first Unity minister, talked about the angelic realms and dimensions. And so, in my Father's house are many mansions. Not many houses, little things. Mansions, big things. So, I love that. I know that when I take that last breath, I'm just going to go to my next soul adventure. You must be born from above. And this is that renewing yourself every day. He went and talked to the guy and said, oh, you must be born anew in spirit. And the guy said, well, do I have to climb back into my mother's womb again? And Jesus was probably going, oh my God, I can't believe this guy. But he was very calm, patient, kind. And he said, no, you need to be born anew of spirit. And that's something that if you can begin your day with a little bit of prayer, meditation, gratitude, it will shift your whole day and you're born anew. Every day is something new. The one thing you can count on is that life is full of change. Nothing stays exactly the same. And so to let yourself renew and to give yourself the freedom and the permission to say, okay, today I'm going to do something different. No guilt about what you did before. I learned from that. Today, I'm going to do this. You are the light of the world. That's one we talk about all the time here. We open our service with how we're the light of the world. And this is different for a lot of people because I really believe that's what Jesus was here to teach us, is that we are that divine spark as well. Number 12, don't worry about tomorrow. That comes from the beautiful passage about the lilies of the field and how can you add a single day by worrying? You can't. And so when you're worrying about tomorrow, you're not focused on what is right now. There's a famous gravestone that says, if a fraction of the things I feared would happen had happened, I would have died years ago. We think about the things you've been afraid were going to happen that never manifested in the course of your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be present. And the key to that is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, which goes back to number one. Number 13, abide in me as I abide in you. You're not alone. You live and move and have your being in the divine presence. We are like fish in an ocean that have trouble and couldn't begin to comprehend how did you describe an ocean if you're the fish in it. That's us. We live and move and have our being in this divine presence. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is about how spiritual power increases as we gather, because we support and enliven and inspire each other. We get to see the divine light in someone else's eyes. We get to share the challenges of the soul journey that life is with other people. They say the people that live the longest and are happiest have some type of spiritual or heartfelt community with which they share life. And finally, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? The bottom line is, what are your real treasures? Are they treasures of the world? Are they treasures of soul? That when you close your eyes and take that last breath, you don't get to take all the outer stuff with you. But I believe with all my heart, you take all of the love, all of the lessons, all of the growth, all of the wonders and the miracles of life. You take that with you. And so the important things, think about that. Today, what's most important, this or this? One of the things you can always do is, if there's some physical object that you're seeking, and we know we can affirm and receive that, but one of the deepest ways you can work with that is to be in the world, but if not of the world, say, I want a new car, but not for the sake of the car. I want it so I can go see my friends. I'll have the freedom to take people places and help. Look at the reason behind why. And that's your soul growth. That's your soul lesson. And so always keep that in mind. So there are the 15. We actually got through all of them. And I'd like to close with a wonderful quote from Deepak Chopra. Your goal and mine isn't to imitate Jesus. It is to become part of him, or as he said, to abide in him. We can do that at a level of consciousness by becoming part of the unending process that turns separation into unity. Our lives belong to that process as surely as did the life of the Messiah. 15 paths, a path to enlightenment, to God awareness that is viable today and visible today. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, we open in willingness to grow in our divine consciousness of who we are, why we're here, how we can serve, how we can do this collectively in ways that bless our world. Let the presence of the divine come alive in us in new and powerful ways this day and in all of the days yet to come. Oh, for this living example, both viable and visible, we are so grateful, and we say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And so it is.